Today's scripture reading is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. Verse 8, it was by faith Abraham obeyed God's call to go to another place God promised to give him. He left his own country, not knowing where he was to go. It was by faith that he lived like a foreigner in the country God promised to give him. He lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who had received that same promise from God. Abraham was waiting for the city that has real foundations, the city planned and built by God. He was too old to have children, and Sarah could not have children. It was by faith that Abraham was made able to become a father, because he trusted God to do what he had promised. This man was so old he was almost dead, but from him came as many descendants as there are stars in the sky. Like the sand on the seashore, they could not be counted. All these great people died in faith. They did not get the things that God promised his people, but they saw them coming far in the future and were glad. They said they were like visitors and strangers on earth. When people say such things, they show they are looking for a country that will be their own. If they had been thinking about the country they had left, they could have gone back. But they were waiting for a better country, a heavenly country. So God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for them.
They say when you come back from vacation, you know, you're supposed to be really rested and raring to go. But when you take a vacation with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old boys, I am so sore. I need a vacation. But it was fun. Most of you who are Christians know that your relationship with God is based on the new covenant that was ushered in by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which of course we referred to as the gospel or the good news. And you know that you're saved by grace through Him, through faith. We recently spent several months reviewing that in the books of Romans and Galatians, both letters that Paul wrote. But you know, there are a lot of Christians in the world that want to be saved, but their faith is weak. In fact, they often doubt God. Or they wonder if He exists when life just simply doesn't go the way they want it to go, or their prayers aren't answered in the way they would like for them to be answered. There are a lot of so-called believers who don't attend church, and some of them don't even like church. They'll tell you that they don't need to go to church in order to have a relationship with God. And there are a lot of nominal Christians who live very worldly lives, but if you ask them if they believe in God, they'll say, yes, I believe in God. A lot of Christians are embarrassed, you know, to even talk about God or Christ or religion with non-religious friends or relatives. The author of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, defined faith. Without faith, he says, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. And this same author defined it in the first verse of chapter 11. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for, and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. What I want to emphasize today is the right kind of faith. Because there are a couple of kinds of faith, according to James. And one of them is a dead faith. But in order for faith to be alive, in order for faith to be real, there has to be some action associated with it. The world has been in a pretty bad shape since the beginning of time. When you think about it, if you stop to think about it for a minute, Adam and Eve rebelled against God. The first two people on the earth rebelled against God and were cast out of the garden. Their son Cain murdered their other son Abel and lied about it. Humanity was so bent on evil that God chose to destroy humanity by a flood and to start all over again. And the man with whom he started over, Noah, got drunk and exposed himself to his son. Man rebelled against God again, decided they were just going to stay in one place and build this big tower up to God. So God had to come down and confuse their language, so they had to stop and spread out all over the earth. And if you've been God at this point, you know, you probably would have said, okay, I guess this was a bad idea. You know, I'm done with this. But God didn't do that. Thank goodness. Instead, he called a man and his wife to leave their home and to go to a new land so that he could give humanity a new beginning. And that man and wife were Abraham and Sarah. Really, you and I, when you stop to think about it, you and I would not be here. You and I would not know God if it were not for Abraham and Sarah. But what was it about them? What was it about them that caused them to have such a historic and long-lasting influence? I mean, we're still talking about them today. Why did this one man, Abraham, and his wife have such an impact on the entire world? The covenant the Jews had with God, as most of us know, was based on the law of Moses, and more specifically, the Ten Commandments. And it's also referred to as the Old Law or the Old Covenant. And what I sometimes forget, and maybe you do as well, is that faith actually came first. In fact, it came 430 years before the law, according to Paul in his letter to the Galatians. So the covenant that we have with God today is certainly new. We call it the New Covenant, and that's what it is. But faith is not new. It was first manifested in Abraham and Sarah. God told Abraham in Genesis 12:3 that all the people on earth will be blessed through you. And that was a reference to the gospel according to Paul in Galatians 3, verse 8. It wasn't, however, just Abraham and Sarah's faith. It was Abraham's and Sarah's faith that resulted in obedience. If his faith had simply been a belief, if it had stopped there, it could never have made the impact that it did, because faith, as we know, without works is dead. According to James 2:17. The author of Hebrews wrote, and I'm going to repeat what Chris said a little bit of it, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. It was by faith Abraham obeyed God's call to go to another place God had promised to give him. He left his own country not knowing where he was to go. It was by faith that he lived like a foreigner in the country God promised to give him. He lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who had received that same promise from God. Abraham was waiting for the city that has real foundations, the city planned and built by God. So Abraham's willingness to trust God and to be used by God was based on his faith in the promises of God. But his obedience demonstrated his faith. And when you consider what resulted from this man and his wife's obedient faith, it's almost indescribable. You know, it impacted the entire world and it is still having an impact today. And that impact is going to continue until the end of time. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to convey this to you this morning. I'm not suggesting that what Abraham did had a greater impact than what Jesus did. Okay? Jesus is the Savior. Not Abraham. But thanks to Abraham and Sarah's obedient faith, he was able to play a significant role in Jesus saving you and me. Abraham and Sarah's obedient faith made it possible for God to build a nation of people who belong to him, through whom, of course, he brought Jesus into the world. Had Abraham and Sarah not acted upon their faith, you know, of course God would have found someone else. But he didn't have to. It wasn't necessary, because Abraham and Sarah believed and obeyed. So again, how could this one man, Abraham and his wife, have such an impact on the world? Through an obedient faith. And so what I'm hoping you'll realize this morning is that your faith and subsequent obedience can have a powerful impact, not only in your personal life, but in your world, meaning the people with whom you come into contact every single day. When you think about our world, there have been a lot of individuals who have made significant contributions to humanity. You know, for example, Jonas Salk, who discovered the polio vaccine, and Louis Pasteur, who discovered a way to remove organisms such as bacteria in liquids known as pasteurization. He also developed vaccines for diseases such as anthrax, cholera, tuberculosis, and smallpox. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. And of course, we can't forget Al Gore, who invented the internet. There are many, many people, in fact, the list is endless, who have contributed to society that has helped us in many ways to live better earthly lives, to live longer lives, and to live really a better quality of life in this world. But yet all of those discoveries and contributions pale in comparison to the contribution that you can make by living out an obedient faith. Your obedient faith can enable Jesus to save lives that will have an eternal impact. You talk about improving one's quality of life. I mean, nothing will contribute more to that than an obedient faith. You know, for faith to have any value, it has to be demonstrated. And it's demonstrated by, of course, what you do, the way you live. James wrote, as I mentioned earlier, that faith by itself is dead if it does not have works. Your faith is obviously a personal belief in Jesus, in God, in the Holy Spirit. It's your faith, but the only way your faith can be seen or known is through what you do, how you live. In other words, your actions. Paul, in his greeting, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verse 5, wrote that his purpose as an apostle was to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of Jesus among all the nations. So your faith has a purpose. And that purpose is kind of twofold. You know, it leads to your salvation and to the salvation of others as you share your faith or shine a light on God, which is what your faith does when it is obedient. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven." And it was Paul who wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:13, "I believed and so I spoke." And you know, just as a side note, it's okay to be motivated by your own hope of salvation. It was said of Abraham in Hebrews 11:10 as to why he obeyed when he was called by God. "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." So he was motivated. At least part of his motivation was what was in it for him. And that's okay. If that's your motivation, that's okay. There is, however, though, an even greater purpose, and we need to be aware of that. And that purpose is to be a partner with God in the work that He wants to do in this world in saving souls. And that's the most important work that any of us could ever do. I don't care what your work is. I don't care what you do. That's the most important work any of us could ever do. And He's called you to help Him. And the most effective way to do that is through your obedience. You know, when I was growing up, I loved to play sports, and the kids in my neighborhood often played pickup games of basketball and kickball and football or wiffball, and oftentimes in neighbors' yards, which didn't always go over so well. But I can remember how all of the older, more athletic kids were always chosen first, while the younger, slower, less athletic kids were always chosen last, if they were chosen at all. Because no one wanted them on their team, because they knew that would be a drag and they probably wouldn't win if they had those kids on their team. You know, we're not the most talented people in the world. We drop the ball quite frequently. we swing and miss a lot, and we really are slow in running the bases. But God has chosen you to be on His team. And I know that you think you chose Him, but that's not true. He chose you. And so the message to you and me through Abraham and Sarah in the book of Genesis, the message is be obedient. You don't have to be super smart or super talented. And you might be thinking to yourself, you know, what can I possibly contribute to the work of God? Why would God even want to use me? Hey, I sympathize with that. I think about that in regard to myself every week. But listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:26. Brothers and sisters, look at what you were when God called you. Not many of you were wise in the way the world judges wisdom. Not many of you had the great influence. Not many of you came from important families. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose what the world thinks is unimportant and what the world looks down on and thinks nothing and thinks is nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. You see, God prefers to use those who have a more realistic opinion of themselves. People who demonstrate humility in their lives as opposed to those who think they are God's gift to the world. And the reason is because God can do a whole lot more through a humble person than He can a proud person. And for those of you who are older here, and I guess I would have to throw myself into that boat, who are maybe in the fourth quarter of life, maybe even in overtime. I hesitate to call it sudden death, but we'll call it overtime. I want you to remember that Abraham was 75 years old when God first called him. I guess I should stop complaining. So age is not an obstacle to an obedient faith. Age is not an obstacle to being used by God and making a difference in the kingdom. Many of you here are wonderful examples of that. So whether you're in the first quarter of the game of life or the fourth quarter, it doesn't matter. God can use you if you just have an obedient faith. Faith isn't enough. It's an obedient faith that makes the difference. So as you strive to obey God, you know, it doesn't mean there won't be any bumps in the road, as I'm sure many of you have already know that. Abraham's faith was challenged numerous times. He had to deal with a famine. He feared for his life, even lost his wife Sarah at one point to King Abimelech. Abraham even had to fight a war to rescue his nephew Lot. He was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham's faith wasn't always perfect, but when his faith obeyed, God was able to do powerful works. As I said earlier, we're still talking about Him today. You know, everybody's faith has to be challenged in order for it to grow. When you keep your faith and obey through those challenges, that's when God does His most powerful work through you. We're called to be the salt and light in the world, and for that to happen, our faith must be visible through our works, through our lives. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on Genesis, wrote, "Living by faith means obeying God's word in spite of feelings, circumstances, or consequences. It means holding on to God's truth no matter how heavy the burden or how dark the day, knowing that He is working out His perfect plan. It means living by promises and not by explanations." You know, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, it's kind of like the hall of fame here on people of faith. The Hebrew author describes a number of people through whom God worked to achieve incredible outcomes simply because of an obedient faith. And he goes through a list of people. Besides Abraham, he mentions others like Abel and Enoch and David and so on. But he also mentions Samson and Jephthah, men who certainly were not paragons of virtue. So if you have an obedient faith, someday your name is going to be added to that list. And maybe you'll even hear it read when you finally get to see Jesus, and that day comes. The book of Genesis reveals the work of God through people who had an obedient faith, and because of their obedience, God was able to accomplish His will of the salvation of the world. God told Abraham, "All the people of the world will be blessed through you." And God is still working in this world to save the world. He is still at it. After all these years, God is still at it. How many people is God going to bless through you? How many has He been able to bless through you up to this point? How is God working in your life right now? Can you identify that? Can you identify how God is working in your life right now? Are you giving Him that opportunity to work through you? You know, I can say for sure you'll never regret being used by God, because when you're used by God, you end up with a legacy that will be eternal. So, message today, be obedient. On your communication card this morning, you can choose three next steps to take. You can read Genesis 11 and 12, which talks about Abraham. You can memorize James 2:17 in the same way, faith by itself that does nothing is dead. And I also encourage you to accept the obedience challenge. Don't just believe, obey. Let that faith be obedient, and God can do powerful things in you, with you, and through you. And a great time to start this obedience challenge would be right now, by obeying the gospel. That's how you can start. Obey the gospel today. Give your life over to Jesus today. Die to sin in baptism today. Confess your faith in Jesus today. Turn away from sin today. Have that obedient faith today. Start it today, and you will be amazed at what God can do in your life. Or let me suggest that maybe you recommit. Really recommit your life. And most of you are Christians in here. Recommit yourself to living an obedient faith, and watch and see what God does through you. It'll even amaze you. We invite you to do that this morning, either to recommit yourself or to put on Christ in baptism today and confess your faith right now as we stand and as we sing.